Hi, and welcome to another one of our podcasts. Today I want to kind of go over a particular verse, John 15, verse 10. It basically talks this way. If you will keep my commandments and you abide in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments, this is how you will abide in his love. What we are clearly being taught here is that there is a place for good works that occupy your life as a believer. Jesus Christ commands us to love one another and to experience the love of God by keeping the commandments. This is the way in which we abide in love. So if we live our lives without any kind of good works and we're only talking about having faith, we don't really receive Christ in the way we're supposed to because we don't keep his commandments. We don't abide in his love. In fact, it's when the sinner, in coming to Christ, seeks to prepare himself by works that the voice of the gospel sounds out, not of works. This is where Ephesians 2:9 comes into play. But once the person gets into Christ, once the flesh has basically been put off by this understanding that it's not of works, it's only then that the gospel lifts its voice and says that you were created in Christ Jesus unto good works. This is the whole point of abiding in Christ, is getting to a place to where we can do the good deeds that God's called us to do, and not as a means of getting into Christ, but as the way of showing how we are relating to God in Christ. The sinner outside of Christ, no matter how much the works that he does are put together, they are the greatest hindrance that keeps them from true union to Christ. But when you're a believer in Christ, the works are the very strength and blessing that makes your faith perfect. This is what James chapter 2 is all about, especially when he talks about how faith through works made Abraham's faith perfect in 2:22. Because it's the union with Christ that cements the soul in the root of the love of God, that which allows you to keep all the words and commandments that God wants. This is really the important thing, because in John 14:23, he says that if a man loves me, he will keep my words and the Father will love him. And this is what is basically behind the whole idea that if you'll keep the commandments, you will abide in his love. Because it's in doing the love, the acts of love, as you are motivated from a relationship, not a religion, that truly transforms the world and becomes what you need to be. There is this deep connection between keeping the commandments and abiding with Christ that needs to truly be understood by every person, because it's our union with Jesus Christ that is something that's not a thing of the intellect or just some kind of sentiment. It's not just a I believe it only type thing. It's something that has to be real as a union of your character and life, how people know you. Because the holy life that we find of Jesus Christ himself, with his feelings and dispositions, is something that comes about because he was breathed the power of God in his divinity. And it's what he breathes into us that sanctifies us when he breathes into us the Holy Spirit as a result of us being born again by baptism. The believer's calling is to think and feel and will just what Jesus thought, felt, and willed. This is where we become a partaker, not only of grace, but also of the holiness of God. And it's what really transforms our relationship situation with God. It becomes less of a religion and more of a love affair, more of a self-sacrificing that continues to live out every day that we live. Because if we live our lives for Christ, we'll be delivered from a life of selfishness, our self-centeredness, and truly be able to love our neighbors as we ought. It's where we really get the will of Christ in us and really find the only true path to liberty or freedom from the slavery of our own self-will that leads us into sin and other bondage. And it's something that if you're ignorant and slothful about, it shows the great difference between how you approach the things of God and the things of anything else. Many Christians that walk around struggling with their faith do so because they're either ignorant of this reality of staying in the love of God by doing the good works, because they see them only as an external thing. They don't see them as something that's born out of a relationship. Because if you really think about it, the love of Christ is something that if you compare it to the love of any other human person or thing, whether, let's say it's a dog, would you do something that would be harmful to a dog that you're in love with, or a cat that you're in love with, or any other kind of pet? I think the answer to that's no. Would you want to make sure that they're cared for and taken care of? You would. Would you, as a caretaker of a pet, would you let it just wander out in the street or get out of the backyard if you wanted them to stay in the backyard? I mean, the nature of the dog or cat is probably to wander everywhere. I was over at a friend's house the other day, and they had to watch and make sure that the cats didn't run outside the house, because when they open the door, they come a-running, getting ready to go. And it's kind of like us. If we don't live in the commandments, if we don't do the things of God, we're like cats that just run out of the house, and that's not a good thing. And we shouldn't be that way, because in our previous life, we look for comfort and things on our own, instead of really seeking to abide in Christ. And the commandments become something of a dreariness because they're external. In fact, a lot of the people that would say that they don't find anything in religion is because they're treating it as something external. They don't see it as a relationship. And they see all these laws and commandments not as a fence protecting them and keeping them in to Christ, but rather they see them as a hindrance to really experiencing the free reign of roaming everywhere. And that's something that's really important. So we need to get this revelation of divine love that really guides us into the deeper experiences of all that eternal life that is possible for a more closer union with our Lord. Because God sees how when we really get in harmony with His will, what the real result is, and it's a result of relationship, it's a result of fellowship that really takes us into something deeper. Because in how we choose, in our will, if you want to use that particular word, there is a faculty within us that is just simply what makes us a true image and likeness of God. We're not robots. We do get the ability to choose. We get to decide, do we want to do something good or do we want to do something harmful? And this is where it is. And that's why the will of God has to be the power that rules our entire lives, our moral lives, and everything, so that we can truly experience what we are supposed to be. In fact, how can you have fellowship with any person unless you delight in what they do? I think there's a scripture, I think it's in Amos, can't think of the exact verse, but it says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Can you truly abide in a relationship with somebody if you don't like what they like? If you aren't in agreement on some level? Can you like somebody that's a Trump supporter if you're a Democrat? Can you really go for somebody who's a bleeding heart, tree-hugging liberal if you're not? I mean, there's this kind of deeper reality that we understand when we're relating to other people, that there are certain people that we'll get along with, that we'll like, that we'll be around, and then there'll be other people that will annoy us that we have to stay away from. So it's just this whole little deeper thing. The getting into the reality of this is truly how we learn how to delight ourselves in God by doing His will and really become the kind of people that seek Him. In fact, faith is a very important thing, because we're told that without faith it's impossible to please God. For if we truly have faith in God, we believe, number one, that He exists and that He has a certain character. And as a result of that, we're pursuing that character. We're pursuing that. That's what faith does. It seeks Him to be rewarded. It's not merely just about salvation that brings the sinner to a place of personal safety, but it's getting into doing the will of God and really experiencing the will of God in our life, to where everything about our lives are transformed and made better. Because as we continue to get into a true communion with God and a conformity to what He's asking us to be, it'll be more natural and more blessed for us to keep the commandments of Christ than it is for us to break them. In fact, we'll want to be pleasing to Him instead of displeasing to Him. And so our souls will basically chase after God and what He wants, and these greater manifestations of God that are based upon us keeping the commandments of God. As John 14, verses 15 and 16 tell us, verse 21 of John 14 tells us, and also John 14, 23. These are verses that you should look up in your spare time outside of here, because it'll help you really understand that the more you really get into the love of God, the more you really experience the relationship that God wants to have with you, the deeper and more sure all of these other things become in your life. There's also another thing that we're called to that'll help open up this more deeper relationship that we can have with God. And it is simply this: realizing that there was no other way that Christ Himself abode in God, His Father, than to do His will. It is in the life of Christ, which He led as a human person on earth, that is marked with obedience to God throughout, because in all things He was tempted like us, but He did not sin. He did the will of the Father. He's always seeking that. So as we offer ourselves in a self-gratification nature, it basically is a refusal of the love of God. And in looking to Jesus, we can see how He fasted and prayed. He suffered being tempted, was out in the desert for 40 days, and the devil said, "Hey, why don't you eat this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you jump from here? Show off, you know, be whatever." But He kept Himself in the Father's will. He surrendered to everything that God the Father had said. And that's why in John 8, verses 28 and 29, He says, "I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, that's what I speak. As he sent me, that's what I'm able to do, because I'm not left alone. For always and everything, I do what pleases Him." Do you do what pleases God? Will you truly be a servant, or are you some self-willed goat that'll just go off and do your own thing? This is the only path to a true blessedness and abundant life on earth, and a true experience of the love of God that's only really truly experienced in heaven. And it's basically realizing that He is our vine, the one through whom the Holy Spirit flows out and allows us to bear more fruit. Because if we continue to obey His commands and do what He asks, to love one another as He loves us, and to love God our Father with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, staying in the love of God, staying in that relationship of abiding in Christ, that we'll continue to keep His commandments. It'll be something that we do more instinctively than destinctively. Keeping the love of God in our heart will not be a struggle. It'll be something that really happens, because we're really courting Him. We're really having a relationship with Him. It's that real surrender of ourselves to God for everything that we need. And it's not being content in the sense of just knowing Scripture as an intellectual exercise, but we really get to know Christ. We really get to know God by how we live our lives. And we truly meditate and pray and really get into a loving acceptance of the Spirit's teachings, so that He's able to write upon the fleshly tables of our heart, as 2 Corinthians 2:3 talks about. It allows us to not be content with just some knowledge of the commands, but to really get into what it really means, to really know the depths and the heights and everything, to where we're not just following a religion, but we're following Christ. We're not like the rich man that's holding on to things that are more important than anything else to God. Even though we have a form of godliness, we would have a denial of the power thereof, which is the power of love. A love that gives all that we have to follow Christ. In fact, the psalmist once said, "I esteem all your precepts to be everything that is according to what is right." This is Psalm 119, verse 128. And it's an assurance of God's will that we really need to get into, because we're called to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9 talks to us. It's something that we need to stand perfect and complete in the will of God, as Corinthians 4 verse 12 points out. So we need to really get into this, and this how we do this is by abiding in Christ, by living in his love and living out his love in the world, truly doing unto others as we ourselves are experiencing from God. Because if it comes to forgiving others, we do that instantaneously because we too have been forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's loving one another as ourselves, not doing merely what we ourselves wouldn't want to have done unto us, but really understanding what that means and truly experiencing the love of God. Because love is the thing that there is no law against. In fact, I want you to try to imagine for a second what it's like to live a life of entire consecration to God, to really give yourself continually over to him at every second of the day. In fact, that would be a truly holy life, a true saintly walk on earth. It's the walk that the Apostle Paul kind of encouraged his believers to do. Because in Romans 12:1, he tells them, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed with the renewing of your minds, offering your body as a living sacrifice." Because everything that comes out of your life is something of an experience where you're on the cross, where you are completely and wholly given up to God for his will in everything. It's a life that proceeds to show everybody how living life is being on an altar of the cross, truly crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. A life that truly is a relationship with God because you are abiding in Christ. And it's one that takes you a little bit deeper every moment, because every moment, more and more, you get renewed in your mind to prove what is good and perfect and acceptable to God in a way that really leads you into the deeper things of a relationship with him. It's that not trying to be contrary to those that you love. In fact, I kind of think about a certain couple that basically fight constantly. A lot of people think that such a thing is normal. In fact, you hear all these jokes about the ball and chain wife conversation, or that the husband is very insensitive to the wife. And it's really something that should lead us deeper, that we really need to get deeper and understand that if we were truly living a love relationship, there wouldn't be that kind of friction. There wouldn't be that kind of misunderstanding and non-love. Because we're supposed to have a quick understanding of what's supposed to come about. There's supposed to be this initial perception of what's right and wrong. This is what Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah 11:3, when he talks about how we should recognize the meaning and application of all of God's commands in our daily life, because it's something that he teaches us through love. It's something that, as we really understand what love is, we know how to relate to other people. In fact, I'm really, as I'm thinking about this, I kind of remember, and I think I said it before, one of the greatest losses that a person could have in life that St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa, basically pointed out, was that somebody would not have anyone to love nor be loved by anybody. And when you really don't understand that fellowship of love, that's really when you're really hurting, and you go off into all these other things. In fact, you can always tell the depth of a person's true conversion experience, their true walk with God, their true Christianity, by how much they don't think of themselves, how much they do think of others. Because the moment they start thinking selfishly, that's when they stop loving their neighbor as themselves. And that's something that really, it's kind of a guidepost, runs through even my life. I'm not always perfect. I think very few of us really are. But it's a goal. It's that thing that we really need to get into. So we need to really be working toward like that. So if we keep the commands of God in our heart, and let the word of God richly dwell within us, hiding them in our heart like Mary, remembering them and meditating on them, as they said throughout the Gospels, when they would have Mary like remembering what Jesus said and pondering those words when she saw him in the temple and he says, hey, I should be about my Father's business. She kept those things. She meditated on them. She really took them inside. And it really becomes that fulfillment of what Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 talks about, that we delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law we meditate day and night. Because love will assimilate into your innermost being and become the thing that you think about most. If you think about that time that a young man falls in love with a woman, the only thing you can think about is that woman. She becomes an obsession. She becomes everything to him. And it's when you do this that love begins to really go through you. And you no longer see yourself as standing outside of what's being commanded for you for that one person, because you really get transformed into a perfect harmony to where you really walk with them in agreement and have a single focus and aim. In fact, as you continue, you'll not even tolerate any of the slightest sins that happen. You'll be able to say, like the scripture says, I have sworn and will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments. This is in Psalm 119, verse 106. Because we begin to labor earnestly in prayer and that one day we'll stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's what Colossians 4:12 points out to us. And we begin to really seek earnestly and discover every secret sin, that every hindrance to our relationship with God. And we'll root it out. We'll give it up. We'll walk in the light as much as we possibly can. We'll yield ourselves unreservedly to surrender and obey everything that God has spoken. And we'll be zealous for it. This is the vow that Israel took in Exodus 19 and 24 that they eventually broke. But it's that vow of the new covenant that we'll keep because we really fall in love with them. Because disobedience is just something that we can't abide. We don't look at as, oh, I sin a little bit every day. It's something that we're not looking to have, because disobedience dulls the conscience. It darkens the soul. It really drains us of any true spiritual energy. And it makes everything more external, because we fall out of a relationship that is a relationship of love. And that's why keeping the commandments of Christ is something that really is about love, because it's about really obeying the person that we love. In fact, if we asked ourselves what we are we true stewards of our life, or are we the ones in control of it? Are we a true soldier that asks for nothing but the orders of our commander, or are we trying to be the leader of our own destiny and have God rubber stamp whatever plan we come up with? Because if we remember who we are and what we're called to be as Christians, it'll show us that the commandments of God are merely that fence that keeps us in the backyard, that door that keeps us in the house, instead of wandering out like some pets like to do, and keeps us safe. Because each new surrender to keep the commandments of God will allow us a much more deeper understanding of the love of God. And it becomes more of a reward of love than a burden of love. This is the whole point of why one of the choicest treasures to keep in your mind is to do what God asked you to do. To let your will not be done, but the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, or in heaven as it is in earth. Either way, you're not trying to be like Satan, trying to rule everything and be above God. You are a servant. You are a caretaker. And you're the one that wants to hear at the end of your life, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of the Lord. Because that's the promise that we are looking for. And that is the very important thing that we should take forward with us every day of our lives. Now, I hope this podcast has been a very pleasant experience for you today, that you're able to get something out of it that can transform the way you live and really understand that you really need to cooperate with God and do His commandments, not because they are a written set of laws that you need to obey or go to hell for. It is more that they are a true sign of what is love. It's the grocery list that God gives you when you're out and about, and he says, hey, why don't you run by the grocery store and pick up some eggs? You know, don't steal. That's kind of how that ties in together and really brings it home. And that's something that we really need to have in front of us every day. So I asked you to really think about that. And if this has blessed you and has given you that kind of new insight as to why the commandments, I would pretty much recommend that you try to help us out and continue to be one of our partners by supporting us with at least a $5 donation through the Patreon program. That's the Patreon link in the comment section below, where it describes what this particular podcast is all about. You'll see it as patron.podbeam.com/dtesh, and that's where you need to go to put in your information so that you can set up an account that allows us to be able to minister. And the more you're able to do it, the more we're able to do for this, maybe even get into some video broadcasting and do other promotions as well. But those are things that we can't do at this time. But we're hoping that by having your support, we'll get to. The benefit of that is you'll get access to some additional podcasts that will take you deeper into your spiritual journey with God and allow you to truly become more victorious and have a relationship. But these are all the things that we want you to do. And I really hope that really what you get out of this is how to love with the commandments and not be hated by them. It's just the whole being pleasing to God and truly living your life for that. And if you'll do that, I guarantee you, you'll have a truly blessed day.